organization called the Guardian Angels. You see them with red berets.
I admire Curtis Sliwa, and I think that he takes his life into his own hands doing what he does.
Curtis Sliwa, the Guardian Angels founder and leader.
We've got Curtis Sliwa from WABC Radio.
Curtis Sliwa, legendary New York.
Drive at 5 with Curtis Sliwa. What happened today? Why? And what's next? Live, local, on it. 77 WABC.
C'è una luna mezzumara, mamma mia, mamma di dare. Figlia mia, tu da dare, mamma mia, pensaccia tu.
7 minutes after the hour of 5, as we are high atop Madison Square Garden, the great facilities provided to us in order to do this broadcast to all of you by NJDiet.com. But there was certainly no dieting going on this weekend, because I was on a mission, ladies and gentlemen, both as radio talk show host here at WABC and the New York State Reform Party chairman, to find the Fugazi, the fake Italian known as Comrade Bill de Blasio, who pretends he's Italian, but his real name is William von Wilhelm, probably named after Kaiser von Wilhelm. Anyway, the point was he was supposed to be in Bensonhurst for the annual Christopher Columbus Day parade on Saturday up 18th Avenue. He was a no-show, MIA, even though he was advertised on all the posters in most of the shops along 18th Avenue. A real Fugazi. Then Mount Laredo, which had a three-day Italian heritage extravaganza in the south end of Staten Island. Really a great cultural event. The mayor was missing in action all 3 days. And in Morris Park yesterday, as the rains held off, in the words of Tony Signorelli, the chairman of the annual Christopher Day Columbus Parade, Comrade Bill de Blasio, you need not apply. Don't show up. You're not wanted here in Morris Park. And the mayor was not there. And the people on both sides of Morris Park Avenue were appreciative of that. And then today was the big kahuna, the mother of all Christopher Day Columbus parades, up Fifth Avenue, and started about 11 o'clock, as you know, in clement weather, but it didn't hold back the crowds. And I was out there along with our mayoral candidate, Sal Albanese, on the Reform Party line and others. And boy, we were firing up the crowd as the mayor began to march, first with the sanitation department and then with the fire department. Just listen in on some of the audio. Now, you didn't hear any cheers there. It was all boos. It was a chorus of boos, the Bronx jeer. And the mayor sat stone-faced, oblivious, waving an Italian flag, the Fugazi Italian that he is. But in the line of march also was a true Italian immigrant who had come over as a young boy from Calabria. In fact, on the SS Christopher Columbus, yep. And ended up coming to Brooklyn and Staten Island and making his bones, eventually to become the city council person representing Bay Ridge and Dyker Heights. Then went on to run for mayor on a few occasions. And this time is in the general election on November 7th as the New York State Reform Party candidate for mayor that I am the chairman of. On the line right now, Sal Albanese. Thanks for joining us on the Drive Home at 5 again, Sal.
Hey, Curtis, great to be on and great to be with you today at the Columbus Day Parade. It was great to be with you all weekend as we celebrate Italian-American heritage here in New York City. And, of course, our mayor was in absentia, thank God, because he would have been booed all over Staten Island, Brooklyn, and the Bronx. He showed up today and
I think we lost Sal momentarily there. Make sure your dyschronificator is pointing towards Bay Ridge, which is east from where we are broadcasting from. You think you got that, Brian Mongalooch, you hipster, you millennia, who I hate, I loathe, I despise? Sorry for that indiscretion on our part, Sal.
No problem. As I said, it was great to be with you today, and it was... heartening to see how Italian Americans greeted the mayor, because they see right through his political games with the Columbus statute, which was built by Italian immigrants in the 1890s, who were being discriminated against. And he refuses to acknowledge that that statue will stay up. And I'm glad to hear that the governor said today that if he decides to take it down, he'll put it on state property. Governor Cuomo mentioned that today on the air.
Well, were you surprised at how many boos the mayor got when he walked up Fifth Avenue and at times what was a torrential downpour?
I was not. I was not surprised because Italian Americans are furious over his political antics, and I fully expected him to be booed, and I'm glad that he got booed, and I was glad to join in the boos with you and others along the parade route, and people see right through the political divisiveness and the games that he's playing as mayor of New York City. This commission that he set up is really going to cause more division amongst people in New York City. He should be bringing people together. Instead, what he's doing is dividing people, and especially...
I think we lost him there momentarily. Let's see if we can straighten that. There's quantificator out there, Brian Mongolucci. Three strikes and you're out. If I got to come back there and strangle the living daylights out of you, I don't care. I'll end up taking a murder rap. It'll be well worth it. But it is interesting, as Sal Albanese brought up, the Blue Ribbon Panel Commission put together by Bill de Blasio to determine the fate of not just the Christopher Columbus statues, but other memorials and other commemorations. The chairman of that committee is gaveling everyone together tomorrow, and that is Harry Belafonte. In fact,
work all night and a drink of rum. Stack banana till the morning come.
Daylight come and we want go home.
Harry Belafonte. And let me just bring you back to the inauguration of Bill de Blasio, when Harry Belafonte was his keynote speaker, because he is his very dear compatriot. Listen to what Harry Belafonte had to say when the mayor was sworn in as replacing Michael Bloomberg.
The solution to what most people want America to become resides here in New York. We can become America's DNA for the future.
Well, if Christopher Columbus' statue's future is based on Harry Belafonte, I would have to suggest, Sal Albanese, that statue will have to be moved either by the governor of the state property, or maybe even, as Dan Donovan, the congressman of Staten Island and Brooklyn, suggested, federal property out in Staten Island.
Absolutely. I hope Belafonte doesn't take that position. But once again, Curtis, this commission should have never been constituted. It's just very divisive. It's wrong. The mayor didn't have the guts to tell his ally, Melissa Mark Viverito, that the statue would not come down, so he punted to a commission. And this opens up a Pandora's box. I mean, I saw it was a great piece in the New York Times today by John Viola, who said that, should we take down the statue of FDR? He interned Italians and Japanese during World War II. You know, where does this stop? This is a slippery slope when you get to this this discussion of taking down the Columbus statue. I think everybody agrees that the Confederate statue should have come down because of slavery and treason and bigotry. That's what they represented. But when you start talking about Columbus, then you're really talking about opening up a bag of worms that could have tremendous divisive potential here in New York City.
Now, Sal, one final question, because tonight it's do or die again for the Yankees versus the Cleveland Indians. I want to take you back to the debate that you had one-on-one with Bill de Blasio before the Democratic primary, in which the subject of the Boston Red Sox and the Yankees came up.
Your Red Sox have been accused of using technology to steal signs from our Yankees. Should they be penalized, even prevented from going to the playoffs or the World Series?
Maurice, my faith has been shaken.
Yes or no?
If these allegations are true, they absolutely should be punished.
Mr. Albanese?
I hate the Red Sox.
Okay.
That was a memorable line, Sal. And as the,
I still hate them.
Yeah.
I still hate the Red Sox.
And I think they're about to have lost the Houston Astros today. At least they were losing in the latter innings. Would have been they would have been knocked out 3 out of 5. But what do you think about tonight's game? Yankees, Severino on the mound. He got shell-shocked the first time around against Cleveland.
I think it offers Severino an opportunity to clear up that terrible game that he pitched the first game. He got shelled. I think he's going to be pumped to make sure that he makes up for that tremendous poor performance. I think he's 23 years of age. He's young, and he was shaking. He was nervous when he was pitching that the first time in playoff baseball. So I'm optimistic that he's going to do very, very well tonight. And the Yankees are pumped. Bird hit that home run. Tanaka pitched great last night. And I think they've got a real good opportunity to go back to Cleveland.
All right. Well, that's the tried and true Yankee fan, Sal Albanese. Remember, he's also running in the general election for mayor on the New York State Reform Party line, of which I am chairman. So remember that when you cast your ballot on November 7th.
Curtis Sliwa, the deepest knowledge of the city.
Be the next mayor of the city of New York.
The Drive at 5, 77 WABC.
All weekend long. It was Harvey. I thought it was another hurricane, Harvey, right? Ready to hit Texas and Louisiana. Oh, no. It was the mogul, the movie mogul, Harvey Weinstein. He and his brother came out of Flushing. And then we learned about 30 years in the exclusive in the New York Times of him being a perv, a predator, just preying on women. And then all of a sudden, the silence was deafening from Jimmy Kimmel, Seth Meyers, the late-night comedians. Then all of a sudden, Saturday Night Live, they didn't even have a mention of Harvey Weinstein and the many problems he brought upon himself because Lauren Michaels said, hey, that's a New York thing. Really? Gee, didn't that stop him from beating up Trump all the time? And it just went on and on. And then Rob Reiner, Meathead, you remember from All in the Family? He said, Harvey Weinstein is bad, but Donald Trump is worse.
Well, Harvey Weinstein did a bad thing. He did a really bad thing. I mean, there's no defending that. I mean, you know, that's horrible. It's horrible. But if somebody pointed out, they're saying, you know, we should, you know, and Chuck Schumer, I think, actually said, I'm going to give all the money back that Harvey Weinstein, because he raised a lot of money for Democrats. But he's a donor. He's not the guy in office. How about the guy who's in office who gave all that money to politicians, who's the president of the United States now, who's also an abuser. So yes, Harvey Weinstein's a bad guy, but it's not equal to the president of the United States.
Unbelievable. On the line to discuss this, James Hurston, Newsmax columnist, commentator, media analyst, and law professor. Thanks for joining us on the Drive Home at 5, James.
Hey, my pleasure, Curtis. Boy, that really rings hollow. You know, Meathead trying to defend Harvey by saying that Trump is worse, it's amazing to me. But
don't tell me we had another problem. Oh, man. I am going to tell you, I will go back there, and Brian Mangalucci, I will kill you. I will literally strangle the life out of you. Get a freaking engineer in here and figure out what's going on and stop putzing around and trying to figure it out on your own. Let's see if we got James Hurston back on the line. Are you there, James?
Yes.
I apologize. The disquantificator was going towards the east and you're out west.
Yes, I think it was. You know, it was what I was saying is that Harvey's like a hurricane of hypocrisy. And the fact is he's in shock because he put together this incredible political spin machine, part of which was Gloria Allred's daughter, Lisa Bloom, and the former defender of Bill Clinton, Lanny Davis. And they both have quit. And part of the reason they quit is because from the point of view of crisis management, Weinstein had the worst written apology, the worst press release in the history of public relations, because in one part of it, he's supposed to be expressing remorse. And in another part of it, he's threatening to sue the New York Times And in another part of it, he's going to go after the NRA. And I think what Harvey believed is that if he would show his liberal bona fides, that he would be treated just like Woody Allen or just like Roman Polanski, and that, you know, that he would be given a pass. And he's not being given a pass, even though Rob Reiner said that, because now we have Meryl Streep turning on him, Judy Dench turning on him, other big-name Hollywood people. And the Democratic Party is feeling the heat because the issue of women's rights, the issue of sexual harassment in the workplace is a very important wedge issue with the midterms elections coming. And liberals cannot afford to protect some guy who's a Hollywood filmmaker, no matter how powerful, even one that's been giving him money all these years.
Well, you know, what's interesting, James, is that clearly with Roger Ailes at Fox News Channel, Bill O'Reilly, settlements were made. Settlements were made with Harvey Weinstein's victims. With the president, Donald Trump, there were allegations, but there were never settlements. There was never any evidence against him. And yet somehow Meathead Bob Reiner can equate the two.
Well, it's not based on any logic, and it's not based on any evidence, of course. And the same people who went crazy, even in the media, over the Access Hollywood tape, over when Lisa Bloom and Gloria Allred brought people forward to accuse Donald Trump, those people are silent. And look, they all knew about Harvey. They knew for at least two decades. And there's lots of people who are talking about it. There's even a former New York Times reporter who said she had a story on this same subject quashed by the New York Times back in 2004. So it's a situation where I think Hollywood and the liberals and the Democrat Party are boxed in on this one. And part of the reason is because you have real faces of big name victims who've gone on the record and given their name, like Ashley Judd and Rose McGowan. But I still think the most important reason that Harvey, you know, is getting such a strong backlash, even from the left, is because this women's issue is so important to the Democrat Party, and they just have to take a stand on it. I suppose even Hillary will have to take a stand.
Oh, absolutely. But I got to tell you, this guy turns out to be the Hazari of all Hazaris, pig of all pigs. As much as Roger Ailes was, as much as Bill O'Reilly, guilty because they settled. You better believe that. And I don't see how Donald Trump is equal to any of those three, since they were only allegations. There were no settlements, and there was never any evidence presented. Never any court process, either civil or criminal.
The Drive at 5 with Curtis Sliwa.
Guardian Angel founder Curtis Sliwa.
Really try to help our cause.
WABCRadio.com.
Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Get up, come on, get down with the sickness.
5:40 on the drive home at 5. I would have given anything to have been in that proctologist's office when Bill Ervolino, columnist for The Record, had to do a squat and thrust because his prostate was beginning to inflate, you know, get a little large like it does with guys as they climb the aging ladder. On the line to discuss it, since he wrote a column about it, is Bill himself. Thanks for jumping on board again on the drive home at 5, Bill.
Columbus Day.
Oh, yes. I was out there booing the mayor on Fifth Avenue. I was doing my part.
I heard. This was the second time I went, and I knocked him in the face. I mean, I did this inadvertently. The first time I went, when my family doctor told me that I had to go for a digital exam, but I didn't, I thought, you know, computers, you know, digital. It never occurred to me that I was going to go there and get what I was going to get. And so I went in, and he's like, you got to take off your shoes, your pants, your underwear. You know, so I thought we'd be getting on a plane. I didn't know. And the next thing I know, he's putting his hand in the thing, and he's go into, you know, the petroleum, whatever it is, and he's talking to me because he thinks if he's talking to me, I won't notice when he sticks his hand up my ass. I mean, I just won't notice it. And, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, guess what I just did? Oh, we were talking. I didn't notice. So anyway, when he did this, I actually banged him into the wall, and it was very uncomfortable. I wasn't prepared for it. And then the second time he did, I was prepared, and it still wasn't any better. So.
Well, let me tell you something. Good for you, because I had that same experience with the urologist. You know, and they go inside of you, right? And it's like, you know, they're grabbing a Spalding as if they're seeking stress relief. They're squeezing. Meantime, you're in pain, right?
And yeah, wait. They get the numbers, and they get that from a blood test, and then they have to go in the back and see what's going on.
Yes.
And he says, and then he does it the second time, and he says, well, I didn't feel anything. I said, well, that makes one of us, because it's not a pleasant thing to do. And so this last time I went, I actually hit him in the jaw, and I didn't mean it, but it's just like a reaction. And, you know, then they told me they could do a sonogram, which I didn't even know.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, because I truly believe these urologists and proctologists who put on the Playtex gloves and then invade your anatomy are really sadists. They really enjoy this.
Does anybody, I mean, I think supposedly if you get a little massage back there or something, your prostate is actually healthier. But I guess I didn't get the memo or the massager or whatever. And I mean, it's for most people, I think it is a very, very uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah. Now, he didn't take a snip from you, did he?
No, I did two biopsies.
Oh, so he did. He went in with the snipper.
Well, this was not all in one day. I needed time to, like, go to the movies and recover.
And how did you sit when you were sitting in the movies? You must have been standing up.
Yeah, you know, he said, we don't usually do this, but we're putting you out for the biopsy because I was really kind of, you know.
Well, you nearly knocked him out twice.
I'm a sensitive individual. They did it twice. The first time, after all of this, the first time, it's like not, you know, when you get one of those non-specific, we don't know. It was non-whatever. I said, are you kidding me? He said, we got to come back. I said, yeah, 6 months, I'm coming back. Goodbye. And there's a lot of questions about this PSA test. But I don't want to discourage people from taking it or using it as a guide. But it's not really the be-all and end-all.
The best one, Bill, because I had my prostate taken out with robotic surgery. Worst mistake I ever made. That little gland controls so much of what a man does in his life.
Yeah, tell me.
You know what the surgeon told me as soon as I was in recovery? He goes, we got to take a PSA test. I said, PSA test? You took out my prostate. You said I don't have cancer anymore. He goes, yeah, but you never know. You never know. I said, if I knew that, I would have never had you take out my freaking prostate.
I didn't even know what this... When he said to me, first time I went, he goes, your PSA is elevated. I'm just staring at him. And he says, you know what that means? I said, I get into a good college? I don't know. What does it mean, PSA? I never heard of it. And then he tells me, and it's, mine was 7 the first time, so it was between 0 and 4. And the second time, it went up to 14, so I had to do something.
Oh, yeah. But I need to ask you some of your valued information, because you don't strike me as a hypochondriac. But you strike me as somebody who is very up on your own personal health. I had a situation the other day. I was going to a surgeon because I have colitis and ileitis, and a bird dropped dead right in front of me before I stepped into the surgeon's office. Now, today, as I'm booing the mayor, Bo Deedle comes up to me. He's running for mayor, and he says, you know, that's not a good sign, courtesy, you know, with Italian people. When the bird drops dead in front of you before you walk in the surgeon's office. Now, that may be on the New York side of the Hudson.
Now, that's, first of all, what color bird was it, do you know?
It looked like it was yellow wings, a yellow tail. I wouldn't say, it wasn't a hummingbird. I maybe a woody woodpecker lookalike.
Well, a woodpecker, I got a lot of material on woodpeckers. A dead bird actually is good.
Okay, this
it's
makes
like,
me feel so much
it's
better.
Like if you're getting married and it rains, you know, they always come up with this stuff. But actually, it's a good, any kind of dead animal is usually means like a good omen. It means like you're having a rebirth. But, you know, like a dark bird is good luck. But I don't know about this yellow thing, so you may want to have a...
Well, I tell you what, since...
You may want to go light a candle.
Since you're such a good friend... Well, I don't go to Novenas anymore, do stations in the course. But I tell you what, Bill, see, you're such a good friend of this program, and I could use a colon. And you have a colon, don't you?
I have a semicolon.
Okay. How about a transplant, your colon into me, right? You don't need a colon. You can wear a bag on the side. I had to do that for 2 years after I got shot. Come on, Bill. Give it up for the cause.
Yeah, all right. Let me think about it. I'll get back to you.
Yeah, I'll bet you will. Anyway, that's Bill Ervolino. You got to check out all of his columns in the Record. I would suggest you get the hard copy. I'm old school. But for a lot of you new jacks, you go right online and you'll see a plethora of columns on all kinds of eccentric topics that are going to give you a belly laugh. That's Bill Ervolino of the Record.
The Drive at 5 with Curtis Sliwa.
There's nobody that knows this scene better than Curtis Sliwa.
WABCRadio.com.
Yogi Bear is smarter than the average bear. Yogi Bear is always
here. Yogi Bear, Boo Boo Bear, Jellystone National Park. You grew up with that cartoon. But then you become an adult and you realize it's not a cartoon. There are real bears out there. And in some areas, the rural areas, now mixed with the suburban, mixed with the urban. And New Jersey has decided to have an annual bear hunt. It's underway as of today in northern New Jersey. 1 year after a record 636 bears were killed, the hunters must use, right now, bow and arrows. Although that can change on Thursday to muzzle-loading rifles, and then the hunt in December is limited to firearms. On the line to discuss it is Angie Mettler of the Animal Protection League of New Jersey. Thanks for joining us again, Angie.
Hi, Curtis. How are you?
I've had better days. But tell me, I saw that there were protesters out there as the first bears were being brought into the weighing stations. Why the opposition? And if you can't cull the herd by killing the bears, what is the alternative way?
Well, first of all, we're protesting because violence and cruelty is at the heart of every bear hunt. This, it just goes without saying. These are senseless killing when you can choose removing attractants, stop feeding the birds in the summer, they have plenty of food, doing simple measures. That's the actual solution. Killing bears does not reduce complaints nor incidences, and it's extraordinarily cruel, especially bow hunting when it takes hours to bleed out.
Now, what would be an alternative at population control to keep the herd at a manageable level, that of the bear community?
Well, first of all, there is no science to suggest that bears are overpopulating. That's number one. Nobody knows how many bears are in New Jersey. So they have not reached their biological carrying capacity. But we look at the garbage containment as contraception in a can.
Hmm.
When you reduce bears' access to unnatural food sources, their population is, they reabsorb their embryos, they do not breed, they start breeding between the ages of 3 to 11 instead of 3. Humans throw out a lot of very high-calorie foods, and bears are opportunistic. They like to eat our food. So if you reduce their access to that food, population numbers plummet.
Well, Angie, in this upcoming gubernatorial race in New Jersey to replace Chris Christie, Murphy, the Democrat, who's ahead, says he will ban the bear kills, where the lieutenant governor has said she would maintain the bear kills.
Well, the lieutenant governor is only going to be like a third term for Christie. So most New Jerseyans don't want that. And Phil Murphy is like fresh air for us because he will join Governor Whitman, Governor McGreevy, and Governor Corzine and do what 92.4% of the public comments wanted, and that was to ban the hunt. So Phil Murphy is going to actually do what the will of the people.
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll have an analysis by Steve Adubato tomorrow of the upcoming Jersey gubernatorial contest.